Start today the Faraway in Northwest London, Friday, 9th of Shabbat, 19th of January. Rabbi Emmanuel Bernstein, Shlita, inside the Tzias Mitzrayim. This week's Faraway has been sponsored by the Simus Anasud of Mayor Fine, Mary Oye, and Debbie Gutfield. Shetichia, Chasta took place on Tuesday. Heat Rotson, Shivnu Bais, Nemon, Bishwa, Lashem, Lishilo. And also the Kus HaShiruyim, Vachayolim, Bamil Chomo, Shiachzur, Votahem, Lishalom, Bim Heiro.
Okay, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here in Torah Way. I think I've come to define this as part of my arriving in England. I know that I'm in England if I'm doing the Torah Way. I considered having a different way of knowing that I'm in England, namely seeing people drive on the left side of the road, but where I come from, they do that also. So, at the center of Parshas Bo, of course, these Parshas, is Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I'd like to start our discussion, actually, by referring to a mitzvah a little bit later in the Torah, which is very much connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim, not surprisingly, and that's the mitzvah of Tzitzis. And, in fact, the Parsha of Tzitzis ends with Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we said this morning. And there are very interesting connections that are brought by Rashi. Rashi cites his Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan of Narbonne. And Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, as he does a lot in Chumash Bamidbar specifically, and Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan explains and expounds on many aspects of the mitzvah of Tzitzis and connects them with Yetzias Mitzrayim, or shows how they relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Tzitzis are put on the corner, and the corner is called Knaf, al Kanfei Vigdehem. And that parallels the way that we left Mitzrayim, as the Pasuk says, I brought you out, al kanfei nesharim, the wings of eagles. There's specifically four corners, arba kanfos, which correspond to the arba lashonos of geula. And so it goes, each aspect of Tzitzis parallels an element of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And when it comes to the threads, there are eight threads, and says Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, they correspond to the 8 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Az Yashir, until Shiras Hayam. And that's that. Needless to say, the last connection has drawn a lot of attention from Mefarshim, because if we know our chronology, there were not 8 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Kriyas Yamsuf. There were seven. We left on the 15th of Nisan, and then Shvi'isha Pesach, Kriyas Yamsuf, until today, we read Kriyas Yamsuf and Shvi'isha Pesach, and Rashi says this beferish in Parshas Bishalach. So it's an unusual situation. Normally, when we have a discussion, we always try not to lose the thread, but here we seem to have received an extra one. And what does this mean? So, Divrei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan Omrim Darsheni. The Tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we go mamish to what it's all about. Well, that's explicit in the pasuk. I mean, the pasuk says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeiti Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liyos Lachem Lelokim." So the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to become Hashem's people. That means that Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a negative experience. That is to say, defined by what it isn't. Avde Paro, but defined by what it is, Avde Hashem. And that really is what is inside Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is at the core of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it makes a difference to how we celebrate it every year, and certainly in some years. There's a very interesting pasuk in this week's Parsha, which says in Perek Yud Beis, V'chagosem oso chag l'Hashem, Chukas Olam Tichaguhu, celebrated as a Chag for Hashem, Chukas Olam, everlasting chukah, everlasting statute, mitzvah, you shall celebrate it. What's the connection between these two things? Well, the Meshech Chochma says that there's really two ways you can look at Pesach. You can look at Pesach in purely, shall we say, political terms, we were avadim and now we're free, or you can look upon it in more elevated terms. And what happened at Pesach is we became Hashem's people. And should you say, does it make a difference? It could make a difference. I mean, aside from the obvious difference, I mean, there have been many times in our history where we're back in Avdus. Okay? Not Paro, but someone else. So what difference does it make? If you're Avodim to B, you celebrate not being an Eved to A, if they're the same, and sometimes worse, as we know. Conditions for some of the Seder nights in our history have rivaled, if not exceeded, in evil, those of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the pasuk says, "V'chagosem so chag l'Hashem." Pesach is to be celebrated primarily as a chag for Hashem, about your connection with Hashem. If that's true, that's something that we never lost, wherever we were, as difficult as conditions may have been. And that's why, if v'chagosem so chag l'Hashem, chukas olam tichaguhu. That's a chag. That's a Pesach that you would celebrate wherever you are. And what's amazing about this idea is that we normally look upon becoming Avdei Hashem as the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as the result of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So first you need to get out, and then you have the result. But the truth is, if we ponder the matter a little further, we will consider something quite fascinating. And that is, if we say that we leave Mitzrayim to be Avdei Paro, well, Avdei Hashem, so what does it mean to be Avdei Hashem? To be involved in Avodas Hashem? When was the first time we were ever involved in Avodas Hashem? Korban Pesach. That's Avoda. Mo Avoda Zos Lachem. That's Avoda. And when did that Avoda take place? It took place on the 14th of Nisan, the day before we left Mitzrayim. So in other words, the relationship between leaving Mitzrayim physically and becoming Avdei Hashem, it goes backwards and forwards. Meaning, not only did we leave to become fully Avdei Hashem, but we became fundamentally Avdei Hashem even before we stepped out of Mitzrayim. From an inner point of view, Yetzias Mitzrayim began on the 14th of Nisan with the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was our initiation into Avodas Hashem. And that explains to us, I think, or helps add understanding as to why there is such a chumrah attached to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. As we know, mitzvahs asay almost never have punishments associated with them in the Torah. We almost never know. Mitzvahs. We don't know. There are two exceptions, and they're both extreme exceptions. Because in these two cases, it's a mitzvah sase, but if a person neglects to do them, so then he's chayav karis. The one is mila itself, and the second is korban pesach. And the closer we look, and this is, says Reb Leib Mintzberg, the great Reb Leib Mintzberg of Yerushalayim, that's out. The closer we look at these two mitzvahs, the more we see that they're both very similar. Bris Mila is the bris, it's the initiation of the relationship with each, every individual with Hashem. But the Korban Pesach is the bris of the Jewish people with Hashem. Korse brisi alei zevach. Because it's our first Korban. So it's when it all begins. And whereas, if a person neglects to do a mitzvah, it's not good, but we don't know the punishment for it. But to be neglectful of the bris, which is the whole relationship itself, either for the individual in Mila or for the Jewish people as a whole in Korban Pesach, that's already a different order of transgression entirely. And that's why the pasuk actually tells us that the chiyuv is karis. But what's further interesting is, and it's especially so because I think it's fair to say that we've kind of gotten used to having Pesach without the Korban Pesach. I mean, we talk about it, but we don't talk about it a lot on Seder night because we've got our hands full with everything else. So the contrast between a Seder with a Korban Pesach and without, it's lost on us a little bit in on Seder night. And maybe that's why it's all the more important to devote time for it at another time so that we don't lose it. But as we know, the penalty for neglecting to bring a Korban Pesach is Kareth. Every year, which is itself amazing. If a person brought a Korban Pesach for 50 years, and then in year 51 he didn't, he's Chayav Karet. But what does that tell us about the Korban Pesach every year? If what is behind the severity of neglecting to bring the Korban Pesach is that a person is really avoiding the bris itself. He is neglectful of the bris itself. But if that's true every year, so it must be that the bringing of the Korban Pesach is the renewal of the bris every year for that year. And that's why it carries the same severity every year. So this, I think, is gives us a deeper insight into the Korban Pesach. And the truth is that what was happening at the time of the Korban Pesach also will receive deeper meaning for us. We know that the blood of the first Korban, this was only true for the first Korban Pesach. We know the blood is put on the mezuzos and on the mashkov, right on the doorpost and on the lintel. And what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that Hashem will see it, and he will skip over that house. And because of that, the Korban is called the Korban Pesach. So firstly, what does the idea itself mean? Hashem will see, and he'll skip over the house. What does Hashem need to see in order to know? There's Jews here. Nowadays, the non-Jews have taken to identifying the Jews' houses. But back in the day, we had to do it ourselves. But Hashem needs to see, otherwise he doesn't know. And as a result of this, the entire Korban is called the Korban Pesach. But Pesach, because why? Because Pasach Hashem. Hashem skipped over the houses. That's how Rashi explains. Pesach skipped over. Unkelus says that Pesach means he had Rachmanus. According to Unkelus, Pesach is an expression of Rachmanus. Bechamal, Hashem had Rachmanus on that house. That's why, just as an aside, but it's very interesting, Pesach is a Jewish name. Not too many Sukkoses are around, or Shavuos. They didn't kind of take off so much. But Pesach is. and some suggest that the reason why Pesach is, for Ashkenazim, is the same reason why Rachamim is a name for Sephardim. In other words, it has that connotation, and therefore it really became part of people's names. Either way, but the whole Korban is called after Korban Pesach. You know, Chatas is about a Chet, and Shlomim is about Shalom, and Chagiga is about Chagiga, and Pesach is about this, and that's it. If it's there, I would call it a footnote. But it's the name of the Korban. But the offering of the blood, more correctly, the putting of the blood on the doorpost and the mashkof, etc., it wasn't just for identification purposes. The Gemara says, and there's Mechiltas and Yerushalmi is about this also, we know that every Korban, in order to answer to the name Korban, so there's basic things that it needs. And the most basic thing of a Korban is Avodas Hadam. The blood needs to be sprinkled on the Mizbeah. Okay. What's the very first Korban that we have? Korban Pesach. Where's the Mizbeah? It's the houses. The doorposts and the lintel of each house. At that initial, with the intensity of the Hashras HaShchina there, a Jewish home that was bringing the Korban Pesach, their door frame had Kedushas Mizbeach. And it was part of the Avodas HaKorban. And therefore, when it says that if Hashem sees it and he will spare that house, it's not just because now he knows there's Jews there, or in recognition of the fact they did. The whole house has been transcended to a different realm, which is beyond the reach of the Makkah. And that's Korban Pesach. That is really what the Korban is all about. And this also explains to us something else. Namely, the centrality of the concept of eating within the Korban Pesach. As Jews, we're not strangers to eating. In our common experience, we almost have no mitzvah saseh where it's to eat. I mean, on Kazayas of Matzah on Seder night, Erev Yom Kippur, I mean, that's twice a year. We like to keep in practice the rest of the year round. But of course, central in the mitzvahs of Achila are Achilas Korbanos. Now, there's many korbanos where there's a mitzvah of achila, but somehow Korban Pesach in this respect comes into its own. Why do I say that? We can see this in a few ways. Firstly, we know, if you know from the Mishnayos of Psachim, with any other korban, if the korban is brought, somehow it's not going to be eaten. So the korban is still kosher. There's an element of the mitzvah which hasn't been done, which is the achilas hazevach, the achilas hakorban. But the korban is a kosher korban. Those are really two separate things. Not detached, but they don't define each other. When it comes to Korban Pesach, that's not true. When it comes to Korban Pesach, if you know from the outset that everyone who owns the Korban will not be able to eat from it, for whatever reason, the Korban is posel. The Korban is posel. Likewise, if a Korban Pesach is brought betumah, which it can be, and there's many Korbanos that can be brought betumah, any Korban Sibur can be brought betumah, some Korbanos Sibur are eaten, right? The Chatas on Yom Tov is a Korban Sibur, and it's brought, and is eaten by the Kohanim. Now, a Korban Sibur is Doche Tuma. If everyone's Tomei, you still bring the Korban, but you don't eat it, because you're Tomei. In other words, the Chiv of the Korban overrides the Tuma of the Tzibur, but you can't eat it if you're Tomei. Korban Pesach, it's brought, and everyone eats it. The way the Mishnah describes it, what did you bring it for if not to eat it? Well, okay, other korbanos don't work that way. So we see that eating, I don't want to lapse into Yiddish here, but it's of the essence. And moreover, from a different vantage point, we know that the Rambam, the way that he formulates the Tariq mitzvahs, so the Torah commands many more things than 613 mitzvahs. So it has to be that certain commands are subsumed within a broader command, like a family command. And that means any given korban, the Torah will command half a dozen things, if not more. But that's not half a dozen mitzvahs of Taryag. It's one mitzvah, which is called the mitzvah of Shlamim, the mitzvah of Olam. Even though the Torah says v'shachtu, v'zarku, v'krivu, those are all tzivuyim, but as a mitzvah of Taryag, it's one mitzvah. What about the eating of a korban? Also an aspect of the mitzvah. So the mitzvah of chatos includes eating it by the kohen, and the mitzvah of shlamim includes eating it. Enter korban Pesach. The eating of the korban Pesach is a separate mitzvah of taryag. It's not subsumed within the general mitzvah of Pesach. It's its own mitzvah. There are two mitzvahs I say with Pesach. Everything and eating it. So it's so similar in many respects. There's many korbanos that are eaten, but none like this. Manishtana korban hazeh. But Reb Mintzberg says, to understand why eating is so focal and primary within the korban Pesach, we need to think about the concept of eating a korban ever. Because when you think about it, it shouldn't be allowed. After all, what is a korban? You give it to Hashem. And then what do? You eat it. You just gave it to Hashem. It runs counter to the notion you gave it up and then you took it back. But the edible parts. How is that allowed? It obviously is. The Torah says to do it. But how does it work? Or how do we understand it? And in fact, it doesn't really relate to any other conception of religion. That's where the Gemara says that Goyim, they bring a korban, but they bring an ola. An ola makes sense for them. Because you gave it up, so put it on the mizbeach. And you gave it up and take it back. You give the mizbeach the blood and the air. Everything you can't have, you give to the mizbeach. So how does it work and what does it mean? What it means is, and in the way the Gemara says this about certain korbanos, but by extension true for all korbanos, Mishulchan gavoa kazochu. You do give everything to Hashem. So how are you able to eat for it? Because He gives you some back. From where? From what you gave Him. That means that the element of eating the korban is about the fact that you're effectively, and again in the words of the Gemara, you're like dining at Hashem's table. And that's why the achila of a korban is such an important part of the korban. because it expresses what is korban, if not kiruv, what is korban, if not kirva, to draw close to Hashem through the korban. And how is that closeness expressed? You're that close, that part of the korban, he lets you partake of it. And you're like dining at his table. It's amazing to think about, just for any achila of a korban. But if that's true for korbanos, generally, it is all the more so true when it comes to korban Pesach. Because if the idea of eating from a korban is an expression of the relationship that you have with Hashem, the kirva that you have with Hashem, so it's never more significant than the korban that represents the initiation, the bris korban. Of that relationship. And that's why if it's a mitzvah for other korbanos, it's me'akiv in Korban Pesach. It's a separate mitzvah of Taryag. It's a celebration of that connection through partaking of the korban from Hashem. Achar advarim ha'ele. We come back to the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is where we started. Well, tzitzis is very closely bound up with Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we saw. The parsha of tzitzis ends with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it ends with the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher yotzeis etzchem eretz Mitzrayim, liyos lachem lelokim. Which means, as far as the mitzvah of tzitzis parallels Yetzias Mitzrayim, which part does it parallel? It parallels the pnimius of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It parallels the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, li yus lachem lelukim. So if that's true, so now let us ask the question. How many days were there from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Oz Yashir? Initially, whereas we understand our chronology is 7. We left Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, and then you have till the 22nd. However, if we understand that tzitzis, liyos lachem lelukim, is about the pnimius of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so as we saw, in that respect, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the process began the day earlier, with the bringing of the korban. So day one of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in tzitzis terms, is the 14th of Nisan. And Kriyas Yamsuf happened on day 8. And that's why there's 8 chutim. And therefore, what emerges is that we have what we could call 2 clocks of redemption, whereby the geula, in ruchnius terms, shall we say, starts on the 14th, and in gashmius terms, starts on the 15th. And what's very interesting is, and this Reb David Cohen of Hebron points out, not only did these 2 geulos begin at different times, they end also at different times. A little bit different from each other. Why? What happens on the 7th day of Pesach, or the 8th day now? Kriyas Yamsuf. And then what happens? Oz Yashir. What is Oz Yashir? It depends. If you're looking at the days of Pesach as a process of physical redemption, the physical redemption ended with the drowning of the Mitzrayim. And Arsay passes through Kriyas Yamsuf, through Yamsuf. We then sang Az Yashir. What's that doing? That's a response to the finality of our physical redemption. But if you think about it in Ruchnius terms, Az Yashir is not a response to the end of our Geula. It is the end of the Geula. Because the Matzav of Shira, with all that goes with it, with all the Ruach HaKodesh and all the Zekeli Va'anvehu, in terms of the Kirva that began with the Korban Pesach, so it ends with Az Yashir itself. So one could almost say, if I could borrow the expression, there's 2 dinim within Az Yashir. In Gashmir's terms, Az Yashir is the response to the Geula, to the end of the Geula. In Ruchnia's terms, Az Yashir is the end of the Geula. And that's why we say there's 2 clocks of redemption. In other words, redemption in the Chag of Redemption, Pesach, in Gashmir's terms, is 7 days, from the 15th to the 21st or 2nd, whatever it is. In Ruchnia's terms, the Chag of Redemption is 7.5 and a bit days, because it starts half a day earlier from Chatzos on the 14th, and it ended with Az Yashir itself. And that's the Biur in the words of Rabbi Moshe Adarshan. And the truth is, it relates to the halacha also. There's halachas that one could see as nafkeminas of this idea. When does we call Chag HaMatzos? When does it start? On Pesach. When does Pesach start? The 15th of Nisan. But we know that there are certain halachas of Pesach itself that begin before Nisan, before Pesach. From Chatzos on Yudale, there's already an Isser Chometz, and it's an Isser De'oraisa. It's not Machlokas Tanoim, that's how we paskin. It's a... But why? There's no Isser... Why are we bringing in the halachas of Pesach before Pesach actually has even started? Says the Maharal in the Gur Aryeh. Because from a certain point of view, from Chatzos on Yudalid, Pesach has started. It started because the kirva that happened through the Korban Pesach, which is both the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the pnimius of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is its own track within Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's already begun. And that's reflected in the halachas of Pesach. Pesach has begun already, in certain respects. I mean, what defines Pesach halachically more than the Isser Chometz? And there's an Isser Chometz already from Chatzos of Yudalit. Pesach has begun. And moreover, not only does it affect halacha, there's room to say, and this is a big chiddush, that it also has ramifications for Pshuta Shemikra, for just how to read the pasuk. What is the pasuk which tells us to get rid of chametz? Is already an issur to get rid of chametz. The mitzvah says, "Ach b'yom arishon tashbisu su'om yibateichem." On the first day, tashbisu su'om yibateichem, get rid of chametz. Now, that's the mitzvah of tashbisu. When is that? When's the first day? So the Gemara goes through it, right? The Gemara Psachim and Daf Hey, Rashi brings one of the explanations, combines actually two of them. What does it mean, Rabbi Mirushin? You wait till the first day of Pesach? You do not want to wait till the first day of Pesach before you get rid of your chametz. I mean, your wife will not let you anyway, but it's already Pesach. So what does it mean? It's the 14th. But it's called the immersion. How does that work? Well, I mean, the Gemara goes through it, and it could be, and Rashi brings this, that Rishon could be prior, can be prior, it's supposed to get Eov, Rishon of Adam Yivale, it could be. So in other words, Rashi's explanation, and this is the only thing he says on the words, Achbayim Rishon, is on the previous day, Rishon as previous, which is not the primary meaning of the word Rishon, but things being what they are, that's what it is. However, the Taz says no. And interestingly, the Taz, we would expect if he talks about matters of Chumash, I mean, he has a sefer, he has a perush on Rashi's perush, Divrei David. It's a super commentary on Rashi's perush. But this is not to be found in the Taz's perush on Rashi. It's to be found in the Taz's perush on the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Pesach. And the Taz says that if you understand that many of the core halachas of Pesach begin from Chatzos on Yudalit, then if you take that to its ultimate conclusion, at least significantly, the 14th really is the first day of Pesach. It's begun. And therefore, it's got to be the 14th. But the Pasuk calls it the Yom HaRishon. Yeah, it is the Yom HaRishon. It's the first day. In Pnimius terms, the 14th really is the first day of Pesach. So we see that this idea, it relates to the realm of Machshava, understanding how Pesach works, to Halacha, to the mitzvahs that apply in the way that they do, both to the Korban Pesach and to the Isser Chametz, and also to Pshita Shemikra, how to touch up the word Beyoma Rishon Tashbisus or Mibateichem. Well, to borrow from the Haggadah, he gives man something, shall something, so our time is up. But it's been a pleasure sharing the great Torah. And ki meitzei seinu me'eretz b'tzayim, yer enu neflo, so we should be zocho lecho, min azvachim, min azvachim, b'meher b'yameinu, amen.